Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. I know the weather is not cooperating like we'd like for it to. But, before we know it, spring will be here and the buds will be breaking out and we'll be looking forward to summer again. And every year it seems to go by a little bit faster. I used to laugh at people and say, "Oh, it's not true," but it does. It just seems like every year you get older, the faster they go, and it has been a good week. We got to go see the kids and grandkids last week, so that was a blessing. But this morning, I want to close out my time with you here with a lesson that I think I need it. I think all of you need it in the years that are coming ahead of us. And the title of my lesson this morning is The Christian Optimist. Who can define what an optimist is? Well, the dictionary says a person who tends to be hopeful and confident about the future or the success of something. If there's anything that you and I need to be more optimistic about, is our future in Christ and the church's future. You know, several of the quotes I want to mention this morning come from Andre Sue Peterson. And the first one I want to begin with this morning comes from The Sunny Side in the World Magazine Online. And the quote is this: "I've always wanted to be an optimist because they're fun to be around. Instead, I became a Christian, which is an optimist with good reasons." I like that. Folks, as a Christian, we are and should be an optimist with good reasons. But obviously the question that arises, is it possible? Is it possible for us to be an optimist as a Christian? And someone might object to the possibility of a Christian being an optimist. After all, didn't Jesus plainly say that there are few who will opt for the narrow way and eternal life? Doesn't the Bible tell us as Christians that we'll be persecuted for our faith? Acts 14, verse 22, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Isn't the record of the entire Old Testament about the apostasy that took place and where the professed people of God repeatedly departed from the faith? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5. And doesn't the New Testament equally warn of Christians departing from the faith? 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. And the fact that there will be many false teachers who will seek to lead God's people away? Matthew 7, verse 15. I don't know about you, but if you look at those verses, and that's all you focus on, it sounds awful negative to me. But I want us to think about what it really means to be an optimist. An optimist is not someone who expects life to go smoothly and for everything to work out perfectly. Thomas Edison looked at his flops as successes in eliminating unworkable solutions. And he famously said after creating a commercially viable light bulb, he said, "I haven't failed. I have just found 10,000 ways that don't work." And the fact of the matter is, folks, when it comes to being an optimist, we have a biblical precedent. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 through 9, Paul said these words. He says, "But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Now, I have to admit to you that for me, the presence of many adversaries to the preaching of the gospel just doesn't sound like a wide, effective, and open door for service. And it wasn't just the presence of some opposition. Rather, it was a lot of opposition that Paul was facing. And I'm not sure if I would have been even recognized that as a door of any kind, not mention a wide door of opportunity. To be honest, I believe that I probably would have said, well, I'll pass. Yet to Paul, it was a great opportunity. Another example of this type of optimism is when Paul was rejected by an audience. He didn't become discouraged or question the power of the gospel. Rather, he simply signaled an opportunity to preach to someone else. Acts 13, verse 46. Ask yourself this question. Have you ever thought, I will never run out of people who haven't heard about Jesus and the truth? I will never run out of people who haven't heard about Jesus and the truth. We need to have the attitude that Paul had. If they refuse to listen, there are people who are dying to hear the gospel. And we just need to move on to the next one and give someone else the opportunity to become obedient to God and Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you this morning what I believe are many reasons that we need to be optimistic. And the first of them may sound kind of a little bit of an oxymoron, but it is, trials are beneficial. Paul said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, he says, for momentary light afflictions is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, Peterson said these words. She says, Christians who are not by nature optimists may have to work a little at becoming so. When you get better at it, you will not only have the good things on your Thanksgiving list, but the bad things and disappointments too. And so what she's trying to say, or he's trying to say, is that when we become mature as Christians, we understand that those trials, those tribulations, help us to grow. And that eventually, we will see the benefits and be able to thank God for everything that He does for us, not just the good things. She continues, she says, for you will start to see how these bad things were the very ones God used to mature you. Now, I hate to think of what my life would be now if I had been cursed with only pleasant things, she says. And I want you to think about that too. If there were no tribulations in your life, if there were no struggles, where would you be today? One of the worst things, I don't know much about chickens, okay? But one of the worst things I am told that anyone can do is when a chick is about to hatch, and the chick is fighting to have to open up that shell, is for you to help. Because it's in the struggle of breaking through the shell that they get strength to survive. And that's the way we are as Christians. We need the struggle to help us grow, to become what God wants us to be. And when I look back upon the trials that I faced in life, hopefully I've learned and will remember these things. Hopefully I will learn and remember that a trial cannot destroy me, first of all. Second, God was faithful. The trial was not more than I could handle. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Third, I learned a lot about myself in the trial. You see, areas in which I needed to grow, people I could depend on, the power of prayer, and that the Bible had the true answers. All those things are important in our growth process. And hopefully I will remember that I appreciate and relish and don't take for granted any of those non-trial days that I receive. You see, such trials have helped me get used to the idea of dying and leaving this earth behind. Moving on will not be a tragedy. Rather, it has many benefits. Turn with your Bibles to Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul makes this statement. Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better." Our service to God is important, and we need to serve God faithfully as long as we have breath in our bodies. But as Christians, we need to understand, because as long as I live here, even when I'm retired, life will be work. Life will always be a challenge here on this earth. But in the future, as Paul called it, very much better. The reward will be there. The second point I would make when we talk about having a reason to be optimistic is that Jesus could arrive at any time. Peter says in 2 Peter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." Folks, that simply means that at any given moment, day or night, all the rebellion against God will be simply ended. And even the most defiant will be forced to admit that Jesus is indeed God. Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. Sin will end. Death will be no more, and neither will all the sorrows that attended both of them. Revelation 21, verse 4. It will simply be over. All in a blink of an eye. 1 John 2, verse 17. All our problems will be gone and solved. And we will simply be with our Creator and be loved forever. Revelation 21, verse 7. One aged woman told all her visitors to her home not to bring her any green bananas because she could die at any time. One gentleman recently had some dental work done, and the office gave him two options of paying the bill in full or only paying half, seeing that the dental work involved two visits. He decided to only pay half. After all, Jesus could show up before his next appointment. Now, maybe that's James 4, verse 13 in reverse. I want you to turn there for a minute and listen to what James had to say. James 4, verse 13. He says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit." Folks, we don't know what will be in a year, or if we will even be here in a year. Now, is that verse telling us that we don't need to make plans? No. James is trying to wake us up to the fact that we need to be prepared. Because verse 14 tells us, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We don't know what life holds for us, but we know what eternity holds for us as long as we remain faithful to God. You know, now and then there are resets in the housing market and even in the stock market. But you know, the biggest reset of all time is coming. And as a Christian, we are prepared. I want you to listen to what Paul had to say about that matter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. Paul said, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief." As Christians, we live in the light. We are preparing ourselves for the second coming of the Lord. Will we know, do we know when it's going to be? No. We don't know any more than people who aren't faithful to God know. But what we do know is the dead in Christ will rise first. And that those who are in Christ will meet Him in the air if they're still alive. What greater hope could there be than that? What greater reason to be optimistic about life? And I want you to think about this as well. And this is my third point. This life is as worse as it gets if you're a Christian. This life is as worse as it gets if you're a Christian. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. Verse 18, Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." You see, for the Christian, the suffering in this world is as bad as it can ever get. Now, having said that, I have to admit, in the last 46 years of my Christian life, my life's been pretty good. Hadn't been a bed of roses, but it's been pretty good. Yet such is not merely true for me. Peter spoke of Christians as being those who will find good days. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. Jesus spoke of his disciples as being persecuted and yet receiving many blessings in this life as well. Mark 10, verse 30. Job even spoke of a time in his life when his steps were bathed in butter. Job 29, verse 6. But what we need to understand is, folks, for the unfaithful, this life is as good as it gets. And then misery for eternity. Those who opt out in reference to God are choosing to receive their full reward on this earth. And reward in full in this life is very small. First point I want to make this morning is, people are being saved, folks. In spite of all the attempts of Satan and the world to steer people away from the truth, people are still coming to Jesus. There are still baptisms and young men and women who still want to teach the gospel to the lost. And I don't mean to disparage any of those of the older generation who are doing likewise. But most of us who are getting older don't know how much longer we have on this earth. And so we look to the youth to carry on. And that's one reason why we're looking for a preacher. Someone who brings youth and vitality to this town. and a willingness to evangelize. And so, think about this. None of that is being stopped. Even though Satan pretty much has the entire world in his clutches. 1 John 5, verse 19. Folks, our culture, as we've all seen on the news over the last year, is not friendly to the gospel. Yet people are still hearing the truth and being saved. And yes, it would be nice to see a lot more saved. But sometimes we just need to sit back and look at reality. Satan has stacked the deck in his favor. He can offer mankind pretty much any immediate gratification they desire, even though the delivery and the follow-through is rather sketchy. He has thousands of trails that promise happiness, that look really good at the outset. Folks, it's not a level playing field. You keep this in mind. He is still losing souls to the truth. We have reason to be optimistic. And the fifth reason is the church still exists. That is, the church that Jesus established in Matthew 16, verse 18, that is revealed in the New Testament, still exists on this earth today. And that is after almost 2,000 years of persecution and direct assaults by the devil. In addition, it is not that the church has dwindled since the first century. From a simple reading of the New Testament, folks, it looks like far more congregations exist today than existed in the first century world. And these congregations are scattered throughout the entire world. The United States of America is not yet 250 years old. And it's looking much different, unfortunately, than what the founding fathers imagined it would be in that short time frame. The Lord's church is almost 2,000 years old. And yet you can find congregations that still preach and practice what the New Testament teaches. Folks, that looks like real success to me. We have reason to be optimistic as Christians. We of all people have the greatest hope there is. And that is the hope of salvation. The hope that we will spend eternity with God in heaven. So as I leave you today, I encourage all of you, including myself, be an optimistic Christian. Don't say, well, there's nobody interested. Yes, they are. There are a lot of people interested. We just have to weed through those who aren't. If people turn us down, move on to the next. But always give people an opportunity. Always show them kindness and love. Who knows, in the future, things can change in their life. And they're going to remember how you treated them. How you were concerned about the soul. And that's unlikely. I don't know who they'll be, where they'll come from, but God knows. God wants to see this church grow. He wants to see souls added to this church. He also wants to see you grow. To grow in your maturity as a Christian. To grow your abilities and that all takes desire on your part. But God can and will bless this church as long as you remain faithful to Him. I truly believe that. And I have no doubt that in the coming years,
know, a lot of new changes to take place. So, as I leave you this morning, if you're not right with God, don't leave this place. Don't leave this place knowing you're not right with God. Make it right. Choice to lose the invitation call. Without him, I would be nothing. Folks, it's so true. Without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. If we can help you in any way this morning, won't you come?
Let's gladly stand and sing.
Will you give my